Good morning, church. How's everybody today, huh? All ready for the snow days, right? No, you're not. You're from the south. I told the huddle this morning, you guys aren't ready for snow. You're all ready just to go eat some snow cream. That's what you're waiting on, right? No, I don't know, man. A flake hadn't fallen yet, and we shall see what happens. We welcome all of you here. So many guests again in our church. Can we welcome all the new people today? God bless you all for being here. Thank you so very, very much. And let's welcome our online church. We're glad you guys are here. Look at the camera. Say hello, hello, hello. And just appreciate so much everybody being a part of what's going on today here at Discovery Church. If it's your first time, I would encourage you to grab one of those connection cards in front of you. Or if you've never done that before, if you're new and haven't done that, please do that. Drop it in the box in the back, as the news has already said. We'd love to have a way to connect with you. It's all we want to do, and we promise not to bother you, but we would love to connect with you. And so if you're online, you can do the same thing on our website. Please go and do that. And by the way, speaking of websites and all of that, we got an app around the corner soon, and there's a lot of new stuff on the website. And one of those things that's on the website is 21 Days of Fasting and Prayer. And we've mentioned that already. Michelle's mentioned it. By the way, Michelle, it was her first time on this stage. See, I'll give it up for Michelle doing ministry moment. That was awesome. It's different. It's way different here than it was over there. And you guys are kind of out there. And we're all, it's just different. It's just different. And so I do want to really push and promote you praying and fasting right now. And we're coming over here every day, 6 a.m., Monday through Friday. And let me apologize to those of you guys who showed up Saturday at 9. Some of you are watching at home, apparently on the app, and when I forget who it was, Pastor Hamp or whoever it was, said, hey, we'll see you guys tomorrow at 9. And some of you showed up over here at 9, and we weren't here, and I'm sorry about that. We don't traditionally meet at the 9 o'clock Saturday service here. But because some of you showed up and prompted, next Saturday we have our men's breakfast at 8. Guys, we're going to eat from 8 to 8:45 and stop. And we're going to come in and have prayer service in here with the live service, the live streaming service. And I just want to invite all of you to come back and be a part of that. If you've never been a part of our prayer service on Wednesday nights, come Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And if you want to come every day at 6 a.m., I know it's early. It really is. It's early for me. But do come. I promise you won't regret that. And can I just give you a little quick confession about that before we go any further? The first 3 days of 21 days this year on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday anyway, that was all into my thinking and overthinking and just going through some really tough stuff between my ears. And you guys, some of you do that often, right? You get everything in here gets to where it's repeating things in your mind, and just, it's like, why do I do that to myself, right? And so here's what I did. I just showed up, and I'm being confessing here. I'm saying that I showed up and sat and listened mostly, and really didn't participate well. And I really believe that if you will just show up, whether you're here, whether you're at home watching online or whatever. Guys, show up every day for prayer. And when prayer and fasting ends, don't stop praying in the mornings. Get up and show up. Be there. Talk to your Father. As Michelle said, listen to what he has to say. Read his word. There's so many resources. Our website's got 3 or 4 resources. We're going to add one this week. It's just a little app called Pray First. If you hadn't got it already, just go in and get the Pray First app. Every day, it's got music you can play along with it. It's got Bible readings. It's got prayer. It's just such a, it's free, offered free to us, and there's no reason for us not to spend 10, 15 minutes at least in the mornings in prayer. Start your day off that way. So I just want to just really plug 21 days. The first week is already done. It's hard to believe that a week is through already, and time goes so fast that these times that we have to focus on God are rare. You know what I'm talking about? It is rare for us to stop. And I just need to stop sometime. You know, God built in a day he called Sabbath. And some of our churches, like the one I grew up in, said, well, that don't count anymore because the old way is gone. We don't have to keep Sabbath. There's nowhere in the Bible that supports that at all. Amen. God has called us to rest, to rest. I said something to somebody a while ago about the snow days, and I said, well, if nothing else, it'll be a couple of days not to do anything. And that's probably the best part about snow days, is you just get to sit down for a couple of days and not do anything because you can't go anywhere unless you're from New Hampshire. Come on, where are my New Hampshire people? Yeah, you guys. Micah said, this is my first time to experience a southern snow. I cannot wait to see what 2 inches does to you people, right? Well, I'll tell you, we're nuts over down here. I'll just be honest with you. We don't know what to do with it. We really don't. And it's fun to watch people from up north watch us deal with snow. I want to push also before I preach, I want to talk to you about small groups. Listen, we're about to start a season of small groups. That's the largest group of small groups we've ever had. Can we just give it up for God for that? In fact, there's more new people leading small groups than ever before. Can you give it up for the new people? And I'm excited about that because you guys have to realize that if you feel like that you're not being shepherded or pastored good, it's probably because you're not in a small group. That's where we do it here. We want you to be in a group of people that will love on you and care about you, and you love back on them and give them something. And I've had people say, well, I don't know. The small groups are really not for me. I don't have anything to, I don't know if they'll ever offer me anything. That was the words that was said. And my response to that is always the same. Don't go for what it gives you. Go for what you can give to the small group. Amen. Contribute and bless and love each other, because that's how we do it. In fact, it's very biblical. The Bible says in Acts 2, they went from house to house, day to day, and they gathered together. They were together a lot in groups and homes, and it's just a very biblical, wonderful thing. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're trying to do religion, stop and do what Christ called us to do. But if you're trying to do Christianity alone, you're losing. I promise you, you're losing. You say, well, I'm an introvert. Good. Come in the group and be quiet. It's okay. We need some people like you to balance people like me, right? We need you. We need people who listen more than they talk. It doesn't matter who you are, what your personality is, and we'll help you learn that next month when we begin Impact Back. But no matter what is you need to be in a small group, loving and blessing and being loved on and blessed on people. And I'm telling you, it's something like I've never seen anything work any better. There are people in our church this morning. Some of you are here this morning. You came to Jesus because you started going to a small group, but you didn't even go to our church. You weren't even here. And now you're a part of the kingdom and about to serve and bless people and already serving some of you and doing that. I want to say one more thing. I haven't preached in 3 weeks, so I'm sorry. Just be ready. You got some snow days to recover from it and all that, so just ready for that. But there's some people here today who are suffering because they've lost somebody close to them. And I don't want to point out, because I used to do that. I'd say you and you and you and whatever. And I want you to know we care. We really do. We love you. We have some here who are suffering this morning because... There you go. That's the Barney Fife mic. It just went away. Somebody's suffering here this morning because you know somebody who's nigh unto death. And you're painting through that. I'm just glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. You need to be here. You need to hear that waiting here for you. I'm here, Lord. I'm waiting for you to do just with my hand lifted high. That's expectancy. What are you expecting of God? What are you waiting on? I'm telling you, he's just an amazing God. Now we're in a series we're calling Attributes of God. And we could literally preach this for 52 weeks for this year. We could talk about a different attribute of God every week and do that through the entire year. We've chosen about 5 of those. And today, let me just say, Emily a couple of weeks ago preached on the omniscience, the omnipotence. The omnipresence, that means the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, everywhere at the same time, sovereign God. And she did a great job doing that. And then last week, Caleb got up here and talked about the faithfulness of God and how he is faithful. And some of you are like, I don't understand that because I've been praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. And I love his encouragement for us to just keep leaning into what God is doing. I'm going to tell you again, just show up. Just show up. And today I'm going to talk about what I think is one of the greatest attributes of God. They're all great, but this is one for me especially that it's great, and that is God's patience. God's patience. I think sometimes in the attributes of God, we often feel like that God can't do any more than we can do. And I'll illustrate that by saying that sometimes we let God take on our attributes. In fact, sometimes we make God in our own image. And we don't really understand because of circumstances or things that have happened or whatever, but we tend to project onto God the way we feel about his attributes. And patience is one of those we do. I read a quote from a writer, Scott Hubbard. It said this: many of the most common troubles in the Christian life come from relating to God as if he were like us. And that is dangerous. He goes on to say, as if his kindness were as slight as our kindness, or his forgiveness as reluctant as our forgiveness, or his patience as fleeting as our patience. And under impressions such as these, he says, we walk uneasily through the Christian life. And this is the quote that caught my greatest attention here. He said, and we have insecurity rumbling like distant thunder. We were sitting here the other day, and it's been a while since we've had a storm, and that storm came through, and it looked like somebody took a picture in the hallway. It's like, poof, light flashed, and y'all know, I thought it was a picture, so I wasn't thinking about it, and then all of a sudden you hear this, boom, this thunder that comes behind that. Well, you know how when a storm's coming up, and you don't see the lightning, and you hear that thunder it's coming, you know, it's way off somewhere. Oh, we're about to get a storm. Well, when we treat God like his emotions and his feelings are like our feelings. And by the way, he does feel and he does have emotion. He has all those things, but he hasn't been a perfect sense. If his patience is like my patience, I'm in trouble. And we tend to live our lives all the way scared of some distant rumble that might happen out there. We walk in faith and we talk about God on Sundays like he's amazing and wonderful. And then we get in the middle of the week and something hits us in the face and we go, oh no, what am I going to do with this? I don't know what to do with this. And we worry. I said we, not you. We worry and we wonder, God, are you there? And the skeptics take that kind of stuff and run with it. And when we discount God and we discount his attributes, then we cheapen all that we are as believers. And y'all unbelievers will take that and run with it. They go, oh, yeah, you just really say you love that God. You just like the music and the dark lights and the fun at worship. You don't really think that this God is waiting on you to do something. You don't really think that his love endures forever and he loves you no matter where you are. You don't really think that, do you? I love Pastor Chris's story about sitting on the campus of LSU and as a student, and he had this guy walk by who was an atheist, and he was reading his Bible, and the guy looked down at him, and he said, what are you reading? He said, I'm reading the Bible. He said, you don't believe everything in that Bible. He said, yes, sir, I do believe everything in that Bible. And he said, guys, that boy just hauled off and slapped me into the ground. Whoo, just slapped me off that park bench. He said, now, your Bible says you got to stand up and turn your other cheek. He said, do you really believe that? And he said, y'all, I mustered up all I could, and I stood up. And he said, he slapped the fire out of me again, knocked me to the ground. And when he did, I just looked at him, and he said, I've never met one before. He said, I've never met one who really believes what that Bible actually says. And it motivated. He said, I don't know if the guy ever came to Jesus. And he said, I certainly didn't enjoy the moment. But he said, I did love the fact that he got to see something that was real. And I just think, guys, the more we laud and magnify the attributes and the wonder and the amazement and the majesty of our God, and every time we get into a bad situation, we still say, I am not alone. I am here with him. He is here with me. He is not going to leave me. He is not. Come on, somebody ought to be shaking their head or something. Y'all hear what I'm saying? He is amazing. He is awesome. And his patience is something that I want to help us with today. I want to proclaim that God is patient. And he's not patient in the way that we are. Like, when I say patience, it's like sitting in line in a drive-thru, you know, that's wrapped around the building. And I got to wait. You know, I got to wait. Or like our marathon day at the hospital a couple of weeks ago when we spent 12 hours at the ER. Yeah, that's a marathon. And you think that's the kind of thing. We're just waiting on something. And it does have that at the base of it. But God's kind of patience, it's a King James word called long suffering. Long suffering. Bible patience is more God not killing us when he should have. That's God's patience. That's God's patience. He said, well, wait a minute. What are you talking about? Let me illustrate with a story. The children of Israel are in Egyptian bondage for 400 years. They're slaves. God sends Moses, long story short, by the way, God sends Moses down to Mr. Pharaoh's house, and he says, you need to let my people go. And that Pharaoh says, nope. And after 10 plagues, the last one being the death of the firstborn, he let them go, and they left. And they didn't suffer from that because they had the blood over the doorpost, and God saved them from the death angel. And so they leave, and they get to the Red Sea, and they look back, and Pharaoh's army's coming after them. And they say, oh, God, you put us out here. What's going on? God says, Moses, stop talking and walk. And he raised the Red Sea overnight, and the next day they walked through the Red Sea on dry ground and killed the army behind him. And they sang the song of Moses. Yay! This is all great. This is wonderful. They see all these powerful things. And then Moses is sent up on the mountain, in the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. And he comes back down. And after all they had seen, they were worshiping a cow. Now you ought to chuckle a little bit of that. But you ought to say, really? It's true. They were worshiping something they had made themselves. And Aaron, even the brother of Moses, was taken up in all of this. And he comes back in the disappointment of God. And Moses just throws the Ten Commandments down. Well, later on, he goes back to get another set of Ten Commandments. And he comes back down from the mountain again. And listen, if that had been me, I'd have chosen another nation right there. If you have no better thought of me than to worship a cow after all I brought you through, then I'm done with you and just wipe them off the face of the earth and go find somebody else. God didn't do that. He did punish them, by the way. He did. He did punish them, but he didn't obliterate them. That's the long suffering of God. And when Moses comes back down with that second set of stone tablets with the writing of God on it, here's what he says. The first thing he says to them is, Yahweh, the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy, I am slow to anger and filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. That's patience. That is long suffering. They deserved death, but they got life, and they got a God who loved them. The word long-suffering literally means long-tempered. That means that the person has the power to take you out, but their long-suffering backs up and says, I'm not going to do that. I care too much about you. It's what you feel about your kids sometimes, right? I want to take you out of here. You know, I'm done. You're driving me nutso. But your long-suffering says, but you're my child. I love you, and I don't care what you do. You'll always be my child, and I'll never leave you. Never. That's long-suffering. You have the power, but you don't take advantage of that power, and God is that way. We'll give you 2 points about patience today, and I'm done. The first one is that God's patience is purpose or has purpose. Let me just say to you guys who are in-house, the middle screen projector is acting crazy. That's why the screen is pulled up, and we're having to see the TV. So for some of you guys that are always like, oh, I sent out those nice big letters, we're using those because this is just way too distracting to try to use right now. And so it'll have to be repaired. But anyway, that's why that's going on this week. God's patience is rooted in his desire to see us come to a change of heart. He wants us to change. And I speak all the time with different people throughout the week, and someone called this week, and their life is in shambles. It's just in shambles. Marriage is dying. Job situation is terrible. And over and over and over and over again, we talk and we talk about these things. And it's like every time I find myself saying, when are you going to get your life in spiritual order? And you say, well, that's terrible counseling. Guys, that's just true. Is it when are you going to line up with what God has for your life? And I did not finish that by what you might think by saying, well, if you'll just line yourself up with God, then everything will work out. Because that's not true. In fact, if you line yourself up with God, it might get harder. And I told them that, and I said, it might get even harder than it is now, but at least you'll have something other than your money and your house and your car and your wife and everything else to stand on. You'll have a solid rock, man. You'll have Jesus to stand on. That's where you need to be so that when you fall, you've got somewhere to stand, because it's not a matter of if you fall, it's when you fall. And some of us just, and I say us because it's me, I'm in this, man. Some of us just keep going back to what, we keep going back to the cow. We keep going back to the things that aren't going to bring us any kind of substantial anything at all. And we try to stand on it, and it falls. And we try to stand on it, and it falls. It's like the Jenga stack, you know. We just keep pulling little logs out thinking it's going to be fine. It'll be all right. I'll do whatever I want to do. And then one day it just all crumbles around us. And I'll just say this too. This is not in my notes, but I believe some of us need to learn that one day it'll all crumble so far that you won't have a choice but to see God. It's called rock bottom. That's not just for drug addicts. That's for all of us. One of the things that fasting does and prayer is it gets you to the bottom. It gets you down to the bottom so you can only see where God is. When you take out all this mess that's in your life, and you say, I'm gonna fast from this and this and this. And some of us need to just fast forever from the things that we're giving up. Some of us are so excited about January the 28th when we can break a fast and we can eat what we want and do what we want and look at what we want, and we'll get right back into the same old rut. So we come around in August, and August will come around, and we'll get up and we'll say stuff like, well, we're not going to fast this time, but we're going to pray. And it's, I just think I'm a wimp when it comes to this stuff. Mark and I were talking about this morning, weren't we, brother? We were talking about how I get up in my fast sometimes, and I get up in my mind, and I'm not eating certain things, and I'm giving up some things that I really love, and I don't want to talk about that part of that, but the hardest part is, am I turning the emptiness into fullness with God? Am I doing that? Are we doing that? You know, I'm telling you, until we empty ourselves completely, how many of you have prayed this prayer? God, if you'll just remove this from my life, my life just be so much better. Y'all ever prayed that? And God might look at me and say, you know, Keith, I've given you, Holy Spirit, my son. I've given you my word. What else you want? Why don't you empty some of that out of your life and try my way for a while? And when I do, my life is so much better in the sense that I have an inner peace that you can't describe and understand. And it just fills us up. Scripture says, don't you see how wonderfully kind and tolerant and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness, there is an intentionality behind his kindness. His kindness is intended to turn you from your sins. From your sins. In 2 Peter, the word is Peter's dealing with this subject where people are coming up and saying, y'all been talking about this Jesus coming back. This Jesus coming back. He's not coming back. I mean, look, the world's been standing for a long, long, long time, and he's not coming back. He's just not coming back. And Peter reminds them of some things. He says, you forget how that God patience ran out with them before, and he destroyed the world by water. And you also forget that with God, time doesn't mean as much as it does to you. God deals with time, but God doesn't deal with time the way we do. Scripture says 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years. And we try to, don't use that as a calculator, by the way. Don't do that. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. Well, if God says 1,000 years is a day, then 7 days he created earth. It must have been 7,000 years, because that's a, I'm like, come on, man. Just understand that what Peter is saying is that God doesn't count time like you do. He doesn't. And God can wait until 10 million years passes by. He's still coming. None of us will see it, but he's still coming. Or we'll see it. We won't see it as a live person. We'll see it as a dead person coming up out of the grave. And Peter's making this point, and he says, look, God doesn't count slowness like you do. Here's what the word says. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. There again, we're trying to throw attributes of ourselves onto God, as people think. No, he is being patient. For your sake, he does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. And that's one of those Christian words that nobody likes. I don't like the repent word. That's one I heard growing up in church. Repent or burn. Turn to burn, you know, kind of thing. And those kind of, that's a beautiful word. It's a beautiful concept. Because here's what's happening. Some of you are walking this way, or maybe it's that way, but you're walking in a way, and that way is leading you down a path that you know is not good. You don't feel good about it. You hate it when you walk through it. You know something's out of order, and maybe you don't even understand if you're listening online, and maybe somebody don't even believe. And you go, why do I feel the way I feel about certain things in my life? It's because God is still nudging at your heart, saying, you know what? If you'll change and follow me, repent and follow me, I'm going to lead you down a path where you can face anything in this world and face it with some confidence and with some peace. And you can make decisions in your life where people think we're crazy, y'all. They do. You're going to do what? You just step off into faith. You're not going to do that. Yep, I'm going to do that. And people don't understand it. See, what I'm trying to get you to understand is God's patience has a purpose, and that's you and me coming to him. That's us coming back to him if you've left him. This, in a little bit, we're going to have our prayer warriors come back down and stand around. You're going to have an opportunity to change all of that. You can walk. You don't have to walk up to them. They're just an opportunity. You can do it right there in your seat. You know, I love what Michelle said a while ago about she doesn't have any better prayer life than I do as far as power goes. We all have the same Holy Spirit that's in us and the same Jesus who died for us, and we're just following the same Lord. But it sure does help sometimes when I walk up to Todd or some of you guys and just say, brother, would you pray for me right now? And how many times has this happened when you walk up to somebody and say, would you pray for me? And you tell them what you need to pray about, and they go, oh, man, I'm struggling with the same thing you are. And then you get to pray together. I'm telling you, man, all this stuff is God waiting on us. God's patience, number two, is opportunity. Is opportunity. Let's get our worship team to come on up. And God's patience is opportunity. His willingness not to release his punishment is one more opportunity for you to see salvation. Do you think that possibly today, that in this moment, God has given you the opportunity to be here, to hear me talk about this, so that you can turn your life around for him? Do you think that in this moment, this might be the opportunity you have? And I'm not afraid to tug on your heart about that. Some of you, you're thinking, how in the world can somebody pass away who's so young? Or so whatever, so good. What a good person. Why would they have to pass away? Listen, because we all die. And the opportunities, every day that we live, the opportunities get that much shorter for us to be able to come follow him. So I'm not ashamed at all by saying, hey, today is the day of salvation. Right now is the day that you need to turn your life around. One day this past week, I was in a prayer service, and I just remember just walking over to somebody and said, hey, I need you to pray for me. And the same thing happened, I told you. It's like, oh, I've been struggling with the same thing. And we've just been praying, and I just thought, man, God, thank you for that opportunity, that moment. I didn't want to miss a day. I didn't want to miss a day doing that. And scripture says, this is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. How many of you are sinners? If you don't have your hand up, that's a sin. So now you can put your hand up, okay? Some of you, I know, you are not hand raisers. It's okay. It's all right. You can do this. Head nodders. But we're all sinners. He says, Paul said, I'm the worst of them all. And this guy wrote 8 books of the Bible. And he wasn't lying. He was a tough dude. Before he became a believer, he was actually going from house to house, dragging Christians out of the house and killing them or having them stoned to death just because they were believers. Just because they were believers. I don't think any of us have ever gone through that. But God had mercy on me, he said, so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life. Do you see the cycle this is supposed to go through? You and I are supposed to say, hey, I was it, man. I still am. I still mess up. One of the things I love most about our church is that we have a bunch of real people here. Just real people who just mess up, and we fess up and we move on. And none of us preach I said, no, I don't know your whole heart. If you're pretending, you need to stop. In fact, I don't think I've ever been a part of a church that was so messed up. Or maybe I have. Some churches I've been a part of, people are all messed up, but they were afraid to admit it. And Paul is saying here, I'm the worst of sinners, and God's given me opportunity to be who I am so that I can give it to someone else. He says, all honor and glory to God forever and ever. He is the eternal King, the unseen one who never dies. He is alone. How many of you get in those praise, I don't know what you call them. I used to call them praise vomits, but I thought that's kind of gross. But it's like Paul is writing, and all of a sudden he says, God is amazing. He's awesome. I love my God. He's the eternal one. He starts giving all these attributes that we're talking about. He is so patient with me, and I love it. And you just watch it in his writing. It's like he just ramps up what he's feeling in the moment. Come on, y'all stand up with me. In the moment, in prayer moments, in our prayer services, I watch people do that. Prayer warriors, come forward. Come on. We got people all around the room now that'll pray with you. And in a moment, you may have a moment right now where you just need to say, Lord, I want to give it all up. I want to give it all to you. I want to just praise you, and I want to honor you, and I want to give it to you. I just invite you right now, just to even close your eyes, and just right now where you are, just give everything inside of your heart to him in this moment. And you say, I don't even know how to do that. Well, I promise you, if you'll just be quiet and just all you have to do is say, help! That's a prayer. Just one little word. Lord, help, help. I can't do this on my own. Just admit it. Admit it. Take a step. Take a step. God's patience is like the father whose son left him, the prodigal, and he's standing at the end of the road. Every day he'd walk out and go, where is he? Where is he? Can you imagine? Can you imagine the love that father had, the fullness of his heart in that moment when he sees his son who had left and squandered his whole life on everything, and he sees him coming down the road, and he's like, woohoo, let's have a party. And he kills the fatted calf, and Steve grills, man, even better than you, I bet, that day, because he was so excited. Steve could grill, and he grilled this food for his son, and there were people that got jealous and upset about it, but there were people who were excited about it, and people who were like, oh man, he's home. This son of mine was dead, but he lives. I'm so excited. And God's waiting on you right now. He's waiting on me right now. He's been waiting on me for days and days. Liz and I had a conversation yesterday, and it was like he just lifted off this burden off of my life. And you can tell it because the way I'm preaching right now. I'm telling you, if you'll let him lift the burdens out of your life right now, stop standing still and move. Take a step. You don't have to come down here and do it here, but do it right where you are. Take a step and say, I'm tired of looking at what I've been looking at. I'm tired of saying what I've been saying. I'm just tired of living this kind of, that's what I had to do. I had to do that. I'm tired of doing what I was doing, and I just have to give it up to God, and I have to do it over and over and over again. Listen, God will wait on you, and he will wait on you, and he will wait on you until he won't wait on you anymore. The thing about God's patience is it is running out. It will go away one day. And when the trumpet sounds, the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first. And we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds. And he says, so shall we evermore be with the Lord. Y'all, I can't wait. I hope we miss the snow day because Jesus came back and he took us home. I'm so ready, man. I hope you are. If you aren't, you need to get ready. You need to accept him as Lord. That's your first step. You need to confess your sins before God. You need to say, hey, this is what I've done, Lord. You say, well, he already knows. He does, but confession is more for you than it is him. It brings healing. It brings healing. And when you come to a prayer warrior, you say, hey, I've messed up, and I'm sorry, and I need to change, and I need to repent, and I need to come back to God or come to God for the very first time. Whatever it is, when you say it out loud, guess what? The enemy turns tail, and he runs, because now he knows Jesus is in control of that, not you and not him. And he's done with it. You need to repent, like I said earlier. Change your mind about your sin. Just simply say, look, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going this way. Turn your life the other way. You need to be buried with Christ in baptism. Scripture says, it talks about putting him on. Put him in on. Baptism into Christ, Galatians 3:27. You need to come to Jesus and give your life in that immersion so that what's going on inside of you can be seen on the outside so that people can say, oh, I know they're serious. I know what's going on. That baptism, that step, you need to take that. Some of you done all that. And everything we're talking about today is leading up to this idea that I want you to understand that you need to just continually come back to him and come back to him and come back to him and come back to him. Because his long suffering is still here now. It's still here now. Would you make a move today, please? Can I get you to do something for me right now? Put your phone down. Put your heart, empty it out right now. Get out of your mind all the things you've been thinking about. And just give God a chance to come in and do something. If you're online at home, I want to tell you, here's an opportunity for you right where you are to give God your life like you never have before. And I'm asking you to stop what you're doing. If you've just been kind of halfway listening to what I'm saying, stop what you're doing and offer faith in Christ right now to him. Just say, I accept you as Lord. I believe in you. I trust in you. And give him that first step, and we'll help you take the other steps. Even those of you online, shoot us a text through the Connect tab. Whatever. Connect, y'all. Connect. Come. Because he's waiting. He's waiting. Oh, Father, I pray right now as we sing. We lift our hands high to you, Father, in praise. Because it's you that we adore and none other. So, God, we praise you. Thank you for allowing me to preach today. Thank you, Father, for allowing everyone to be here, giving us this opportunity. And I pray that we never squander it, God. Give it. We're going to give it all to you. It's through Christ I pray. Amen. Amen. If I can get you just to bow your head right where you are, close your eyes. Here's an opportunity for you, right where you are, to ascend to faith. God, repeat after me. God, I believe you're here. Jesus, I trust in you. I receive you now. I ask you to come into my life. Father, change my life. Holy Spirit, fill me up. In Jesus' name. Hasn't left itself. It's not gone. Please come forward for prayer if you need prayer. We're here to serve you. We're here to bless you. God's here to bless you. Sing hallelujah. Sing, waiting here for you, Lord. I want to know today if you gave some sort of, just if you just offered something to God this morning. If you just said, God, I love you, I praise you, I honor you. Maybe for the first time, some of you offered faith in God like you never have before. I'd love to hear about that. I'd love to hear that story. I'd love to hear what went through your mind, through your heart. I'd love to guide you through that and help you with that, with your next steps, whatever that is. After we finish today, we'll still be, some of our prayer warriors will still be around. There'll be music playing. People will be milling around and visiting. That's fine. We want you to do that. But if you're sitting there thinking, man, I don't want this opportunity to pass, come find me. Come find one of our prayer warriors. They got name tags. Say, hey, I need to do something. And maybe you don't even know what it is you need to do. But I want to help you with that. I want to help you with that. Give us that opportunity. Give God that opportunity. He's all that matters. He's all that matters. So I'm going to pray a prayer and we'll be dismissed in the moment. And you guys, I hope you have a wonderful day. Do please be safe this week. God is with us. Amen, church. Come on, y'all. Somebody said that was a good day. Woo! Woo! I love it. Father, we love you. We honor you. We praise you. We bless your holy name. God, as we give every aspect of our life to you, we pray, Father, that you will be praised by our walk. Help us to walk this walk of patience and confidence in you and know that we can relax in you. God, I pray against the enemy today. Shut his mouth. Shut the mouth of every enemy around who's trying to whisper to us that we are not worthy and that we are lonely and that we're scared and we're insecure and all those things. God, I pray against that today. And I, Father, I just in my spirit, God, I just don't want anybody to leave without you. It's so good to be in your presence. Dismiss us in your care, Father. We love you. We honor you in Jesus' name. And everybody say a good amen right there. Y'all have a blessed, blessed day.